This is the Venny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Oh, already? How could this be? Good evening and welcome. My name is Venny White. Nice to be here. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Usually you would hear the beautiful tones of the gorgeous in every possible sense Pei Chen at this hour, but she's away. So you'll have to make do with old Muggins here, Vinny. Vinny White is the name. If you've never heard the show, normally my show's after Pei's. So you'll hear our witty banter and hilarity towards the end of Pei's show. But today, since she's gone, I'm going to be doing two shows, which is like 2 hours. 2 hours of quality radio. Now, I know I can do 1 hour of quality radio. I feel that pushed to two, it might be just 2 hours of radio. But we'll see. You'll be the judge of that, and no doubt you'll tell me. But be nice, why don't you? 416 872 1010 on the telephone, and you can text the show on 71010. Now, why would you want to text such a show? Why would you want to ask questions? Why, I hear you ask. Well, let me tell you what's coming up. It's a guest fest. I figured that since Pei usually has quite a lot of guests in, I would organise a few guests of my own, being that it just makes better radio than me banging on for about 2 hours. Plus, I don't think I could physically do it. I love a chat, but that's ridiculous. So we're going to have guests. Yeah, real people, like proper people with brains and stuff. It's amazing. Tonight, coming up before 9 o'clock until my official show starts, so between 8 and 9 tonight, we're going to be talking to a few people. First of all, you may have heard of Leave It to Beavers. It's a funny, informative dating, relationship and lifestyle advice talk show for men and women of all ages. And it's fronted by a woman, Sue McCord. And Sue's going to be joining us for a little chat about all things sex, sexiness and love, of course, as well. Do you need to find love? Are you doing something wrong? Then perhaps, not definitely, I mean, don't sue me if it doesn't work out, but perhaps she can help you. So we'll bring her on in a minute. Later on in the show, it turns out that we're not that far away from the Toronto Just for Laughs Festival. Just for Laughs Festival, of course, massive in Montreal, but has offshoots all over Canada. And there's a pretty big festival coming our way. So we're going to be speaking to Robbie Praw. He's the VP of programming at Just for Laughs, to find out when it is, what's it all about, how to get tickets, is it worth getting tickets, is it going to be a giggle, etc., etc. He's biased, so I suggest he probably will be saying that it's going to be a laugh, unless he's either A, really bad at his job, or just so drenched in irony in the comedy world, they accidentally backfires on him, and he is very critical about such a festival. But I have a feeling it'll be good. What else do you need to know? Oh, we might have Chris Robinson on as well. Chris Robinson has a brilliant radio show. It has to be brilliant because he's British, and of course British people are brilliant. And that's just fact, obviously. Apart from all those terrible things that British people did in the past. Sorry about them, by the way. I mean, it wasn't me, but I do feel a bit guilty. We sort of walk around with shame dripping from us. But Chris Robinson will be on to give us advice on where to go, because it's not that bad. But, you know, like in a couple of weeks when the temperature drops and you suddenly question why you live in Canada, well, you might want to have a little destination up your sleeve to get out and warm up. And he's probably going to be the perfect person to talk about the most happening events, perhaps happening countries to visit, and perhaps get some deals as well, because I love a bargain, don't you? Mm. Bit of a bargain flight. Oh, go on, I'll have a glass of wine. The flight was only $100. Get in. And then after all of that shenanigans, you'll get to my actual show, which is normally starts at 9 o'clock. And I've got a lot to talk about on that show as well, because I spent the weekend in North Carolina. Y'all have a good time there. Mm-hmm. Chicken and a biscuit, etc. And I got back from there about 2 hours ago. So if the show's bad, it's because I was a bit stuck on the old porter plane. But it's going to be all right. Right, relationships. What are they all about? How do they work? Do they? We're cruising up to a 50% divorce rate here in Canada, and most of the Western world for that matter, so, you know, don't feel like it's just us getting it wrong. And That's probably not good, is it? Or is it? Because you could argue in the Dark Ages, where divorce was illegal, that a lot of people had a very unhappy life, and perhaps it's groovy now. But there's one thing that we can all agree on. There is certainly more choice than ever. Now, if you're single, you might not be feeling that way, but that's kind of the problem. Where do you even start? There's internet dating, but now there's Tinder, and then there's, like, can I still go and talk to people in pubs? And what happens if you don't drink? And then the social groups, and then once you've found someone sexy that you want to have a little bit of a horizontal jog with and maybe spend the rest of your days with, looking over a lake and holding hands whilst the dog runs around and you wear big woolly jumpers and drink hot port and all those lovely things that, oh, just makes me all warm and fluffy inside. If you find someone that you want to do all that stuff with, how do you do it? How do you keep it together? Because it's all very well meeting someone, and we all like a bit of a bonk, if you'll pardon my crass nature for a moment. But once you've got the old loving out of your system, sounds even worse when I delay it, which is, funnily enough, exactly what she said. But once you've got that out of your, of your system, you've got to live with these people. Some of them keep the caps off the toothpaste, for goodness sake. How are you supposed to deal with that? Well, don't you worry. We're going to introduce someone in a minute. I've got to do traffic in about a minute. This preamble's been so long, I don't know if we should get her on yet. We'll get her on and warm her up. We're going to introduce someone that can help you out. And her name is Sue. Hello, Sue.
Am I on? You know what? I was just holding back wanting to say stuff to everything you were saying. That was hilarious.
Good. Well, it's a good job you're here, because there's a lot of people here in this city that are lost. Let's get through a few of your credentials before we warm you up, Buttercup.
Okay.
You have a TV show, Leave It to Two Beavers. It's a, I would describe it as funny and informative, dating, relationship, lifestyle advice talk show. You also have a website, yinyangtalk.com, that's all about dating, relationships and lifestyles. Before we get to ask you some advice, could I be perhaps just slightly brash and say, what puts you in a position to give other people advice? How is it any easier for you than the rest of us?
It's never easy for anybody. The thing is, I am a mature woman with a young attitude. So what's happened is I am here to help other people not have to go through some of the trials and tribulations of the dating, divorce, single mother, you know, all those things that I went through in life. Mm. And I've written a book about it. I have been an advice columnist for quite a while, and I've done blogs and radio. I started out actually with podcasting, kind of like what you're doing here. And then I went into HD video. Isn't that lovely at my age? But I went into HD video so people could see who I was and talk about it face-to-face. Well, I'm face-to-face. They're just staring at me kind of thing.
So, it's very noble of you to admit there that you have made mistakes in the past, and it's nice
that
you can
That's why I'm doing this.
Yeah, so people don't have to go through what you did. Well, Sue, as soon as we come back from this here traffic bulletin, I'm going to start digging your brains, all right?
Uh-oh.
So stand by. And if you've got a question for Sue, you can call us, or her, should I say, on 416-872-1010. Vinnie White in for Paige Chen. I'm not sure where she is, but she'll be back in her usual time and slot next week. All right. So, lots of questions from me, and a few have come in on text as well. If you've got questions about your love life, any angle of it, the naughty bits in a horizontal position, which can be quite tricky, or the not so naughty bits when you're vertical and talking, all of those things can be aimed at our guest. She's pretty damn good at this stuff, we reckon. She's just come out with a book called Dear Cyber Sue. She's an expert writer when it comes to all things relationship, and she's done loads of TV and web. So let's get back on. Hello, Sue.
Hi, I'm here.
I know. You've got quite an attractive voice. So I wonder if that's perhaps in keeping with your whole evocative nature with the ideology of sex.
Well, you know, voice is actually kind of a good thing. Because when you're talking to somebody initially, if you're talking to them on the phone before you meet them, that is kind of that can be a lure.
That's
a positive to have that, right?
Yeah, it is. Another weapon in your arsenal. Right,
absolutely.
Let's get going with this. This question keeps coming in. I thought it would. It starts quite blatantly, and it sort of skips something that perhaps is quite obvious. It's a guy, and he says, don't tell me about internet dating. Don't tell me about Tinder. Tell me what to do when I'm on the date. Why is it that I'm getting why am I getting consistent problems? I feel like women have too high an expectation. What would you say to this guy?
Well, first of all, where is he Is he dating them from the internet?
I don't know. He doesn't say. Let's assume that he is, because so many people are, aren't they?
Okay, well, what I find is happening with a lot of people is the men, it's so confusing right now. This is kind of that stage of the guinea pig where men are... They don't know what they're supposed to do anymore. Mm. They want to bring home the buffalo, so to speak. They still want to be the man. They don't want to be emasculated from some woman who's super strong because she's got the career. She doesn't need a guy anymore. But the problem is what's happening is we're judging each other. We're pointing fingers at each other. If we just went on a date and just stopped judging from the first 5 minutes, the one thing I find that a lot of guys will say, oh, yeah, well, she's super materialistic, but then they choose the type of girl that's beautiful, and you can sort of tell that she's a high-maintenance person just by the way she walks, moves, her attitude. All you have to do is watch a girl for 5 minutes in a restaurant, and you can tell a lot about her by how she treats the server, how she treats people around her. It's really good to pay attention to people in your area when you're out, just even with a group of guys, or you're out with a couple of girlfriends, and just watch for a little bit and see how people interact. Mm. Never be afraid to say hi. People are afraid to say hello.
Well, I think that's a peculiar phenomena in the modern world, isn't it? Because it's never been easier to download the Tinder app or go on internet dating, and I believe most of it's free as well. Has that changed the landscape of dating? Is it now slightly difficult to say?
Yes, they're lazy. People
are lazy. Right. So if they're in a supermarket, they say, oh, I probably should say something, but I can't do that. But I'll be safe at home in front of my computer.
But from what that fellow asked you on the text, you do want to do that because you stand out.
Right.
You will be, when he says, well, what can I do? How can I meet like normal people?
Mm.
You meet normal people when you see them in the flesh, not on a screen where they're sometimes pretending. I'm not saying everybody does. And on Tinder, you're flashing through a whole bunch of photos. Mm. I don't know much about Tinder. I've never been on it, but I know that it's a bunch of photos and people can sort of flip through it like a magazine.
It is,
see what they're attracted to. Now, saying that sounds negative, but in the same breath, when you meet somebody in a bar or on the street, the first thing you're looking at is their physical.
Mm.
So I don't consider Tinder a bad thing. I think what happens, people just keep certain things for a rainy day. You know what I mean? There's too much, and they keep...
Yeah.
They're not focusing on one sort of situation. It's like, oh, next, so I can do better.
Right. And they're not throwing enough mud at the wall and letting some stick because they're only using that and not saying hello to people when they're in supermarkets, etc.
Yeah, they're getting a list and holding on to the list. I've had friends tell me that they've had people send them messages like 6 months to 8 months later. So how are you? What's going on? And like, to me, that would irritate the hell out of me that somebody forgot about me for 6 months and then they come back. What? Now you want me to, now I'm good enough for you?
Well, this is a good point because there is this whole school of thought, which I personally don't agree with, that you have to play a bit of a game when you start dating. So for example, you don't want to be too keen and you want to make sure you don't text back and perhaps you don't use the phone because using the phone would be very intense, but a couple of little texts wouldn't hurt. Do you believe in any of that? Is there such a thing as a game to play?
I'm so glad you brought that up, Vinny, because what happens is the trouble with the texting now, people are texting each other 15 times before they're actually meeting.
Mm.
That's bad because every time you look at a text, if you let three people see one text, they're all going to interpret it probably a little bit differently.
Absolutely. There's no tone in text. We all have that situation where someone looks at us and says, oh, I can't believe Shirley said that. She said she'll be there at six. No, she said she'll be there at six. It's kind of cool. Yeah, it's difficult to interpret that.
Yeah, it's so true. I recommend, and I highly, highly recommend that you go out, you be yourself. So you go, let's just say, forget how you met the person. You're going on your first date.
Right.
You never, ever give too much information. And I'm talking to women on this one. Women are so quick to say their worst faults, like, oh, God, I've got one boob bigger than the other or whatever, right?
Mm.
Don't say your faults. Just enjoy the evening. Don't stare at other people around the room. Sit down, look each other in the eye, ask normal questions. Don't have a checklist that's like, you know, the size of a book. You know what I mean? Some people have huge checklists.
It's true. The term deal breaker has been bandied around in recent years. Oh, my God, if he's got a cat, that's a deal breaker. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
You're allowed some caveats. For example, if you're a non-smoker, you probably don't want to go out with someone that smokes 40 a day, do you?
Exactly. But, you know, people that ask about kids and all that on the first date, I've actually, before, I'm married again, so I have been divorced, I'm remarried, so I can talk about that stuff too, right? But, oh God, I just lost my train of thought. So what was happening when I was, you know, looking and meeting guys and stuff like that, I would sit there and go, why are they wanting me to go meet their family on the second date? Why do I have to meet five of their friends on the third date?
Do people do that? That's crazy.
But people do it, and this is on my side. I'm the female.
Yeah.
So this was guys doing it. And I think part of that was because I was not being where you come in and you seem like you're desperate or, oh, my God, he better phone me again. I think I was just really normal. And I think guys are used to a lot of women who, especially over 35, that are, you know, the clock's ticking. You know,
so
the biological clock is like Big Ben.
I understand.
And you know Big Ben from where you come from.
Yes, that's also my pet name for my trouser sausage, but let's not go there.
Are you kidding me?
I'm lucky to say, yes, I am absolutely kidding you. If anything, it would be medium-sized Ben. Now, moving on. Let's get back to this program and sort of perhaps staying around the sexual department, if I may. We have a text in here from someone that says, can I just ask, if you're going to text me on 71010, can you please put your name? Unless, of course, you're embarrassed about this. That could be the reason. This text, don't know if it's for a woman or a man, but says, porn is having a negative effect on my relationship. Is this commonplace? Now, the porn phenomena has got somewhat out of control, hasn't it, in the last few years? It's a bit more accessible than ever before. When I was a kid, you have to go and, you know, search around in the bushes somewhere on a housing estate a million miles away just to find one image. Now, of course, it's on all our phones and computers if we want it at any point. Let's start with the simples. Is it all right, porn? Can it perhaps aid a sex life? Or when does it become negative?
Okay, first of all, porn should never be introduced too early in the dating scenario. So unless you're both super into sex, and that can happen. You can meet somebody that they're both really sexual and that's what they want. But that needs to be sort of, I think you usually, if you meet somebody online, you kind of know that about them. So I wouldn't introduce it too quickly unless you've already discussed it. And if you do introduce it, you want to do it like you don't put the, you know, your Batman outfit, your latex you know, bring your whip out and surprise them in the living room. I mean, you need to talk about it and find out what they're okay with. If they're into either playing a part of it, watching it, or, you know, sometimes women get offended by it because they feel that the guys only can get turned on because of what's on the television or the internet or whatever they're watching.
He or she doesn't specify, but perhaps that's exactly the case here. Isn't it slightly, well, frankly, offensive, isn't it, to, albeit not real though they are, to essentially invite some, I don't know, 23-year-old blonde into your living room on a daily basis when you've been married to this beautiful woman, beautiful inside and out, one would hope, for decades? You know, how could a woman compete with that?
Well, no, I think the thing with porn is if you're going to have it in your relationship, it needs to be in very small amounts so that you still feel good with each other, that you don't need to have all this outside stuff to get each other excited. You need to have each other first, and these other little things can just be like a you know, putting the French maid's outfit on one day. You know, it's just something that's just a little added treat to what you
already
have.
Got it, yeah. Don't let it become a lifestyle.
No. Absolutely. It should not be the main course. It should be a little bit of a dessert once in a while.
So you're calling from Vancouver, where you do all your shenanigans. And one of the problems that you find in big cities like Vancouver and here in Toronto is that the dating game goes on a bit longer, which in some ways is nicer because lots of people are still dating in their 30s and 40s, or perhaps they're dating again in their 30s and 40s. One of the problems that I keep getting on email, because I actually put a thing on Facebook saying you were coming on and asked people for questions, and one of the ones that kept coming up was I, as a man, this is not me, by the way, but a lot of men in Toronto feel that
sure.
women's expectations are very high. On uh-huh. one side, they want to have this scenario where you know, equal rights, equal pay, particularly in big cities nowadays, which I'm all for, very groovy, liberal, fantastic. But then there becomes a problem when you take these women out and they expect you, the man, to pay. Is that a bit of a contradiction in terms that we're going through?
Yes, and this is where women get mad at me. Because I'm very gender friendly when it comes to both sexes. I do have a problem with women expecting men to pay because I don't think it's right. We are both working for the most part. And it also depends who asks who out. Like, I'm not saying that a man shouldn't, if he says to the woman, I'd like to take you out for a nice dinner, absolutely he should pay. Because first of all, she may not be able to afford if he takes her to a super expensive place, whatever. But as far as going out, if you're going out somewhere just on your first date, I always suggest a coffee date because it doesn't put pressure financially on anybody.
That's true. Unless you're at Starbucks.
yeah, don't go to Starbucks. go to I don't know, some hole in the wall or something.
Yeah.
You know, you're not drinking. So
yeah.
you're actually looking at each other and you're paying attention. So those are the best dates.
And again, if I may speak from experience when I was doing a lot of dating, the good thing about the coffee date is if you don't like them, you don't have to painfully sit through an expensive meal, not just the money, but the time of spending
exactly.
that time.
Exactly. And if you do like them, you can say, hey, I don't know if you've got plans later. I'm really enjoying this. Would you like to go have a drink somewhere? Then buy
Boom.
A drink
there
if you feel inclined.
Okay, Sue, we're going to keep you on the line because we like you. Can you hang on for a bit?
Okay, sure.
Sue's nice. She's informative. She knows all about dating, relationships and lifestyle. And she has recently written a book called Dear Cyber Sue. We'll join her back in a minute.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
Vinnie White in Page 10. If you've never heard me before, usually you can catch me from 9 till 10. But I'm in for pay today. I'm from London. I've lived here for 7 years. And I, like many men, have had a checkered past when it comes to dating. But here to fix up our lives, and perhaps not only socially but also in the bedroom, is the genius that is, if I can be so bold, the dating relationship lifestyle advice talk show host for men and women of all ages. Her name is Sue. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
So, Sue, I'm going to keep these questions pumping in that are coming through on email and text. Because you're very informative and, frankly, people need some help and guidance. The porn one actually inspired a few people to text in. There's a lot of mums and dads that listen to this show and they've got the difficult teens. And one of the questions that keeps coming up is, how can I police my son and or daughter when it comes to the use of porn? And is it true that if you were to watch it over and over again, you would become desensitised to it? And also, perhaps if you could even expand on that, is that bad? Because that sounds bad. So all of those to you, Sue.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I know there is an app out now. I don't know what it is. I just saw it the other day.
Hmm.
My son's older now, so I don't have to sort of pay as close attention to the teenage stuff anymore. But believe me, I was queen of teenage crap that went on. The thing is with the porn, you don't want your teens watching it if you can help it. I really don't know the technology behind how you can put on things that can stop that. I mean, that's something they'd have to look into at IT.
I should imagine it. The thing is, pardon the metaphor, but if you put it down in one area, it'll pop up in another, won't it? I mean, if you ban it from their home computers, they've got phones.
Oh, sorry.
Hmm.
I had to have my computer fixed a couple of times because of how much stuff was downloaded when I was out of town.
Right.
When I was a single mom. So the thing is, you're not going to be able to curtail it. The best thing for parents that I would suggest, don't not talk about it. Don't pretend it's not happening. And because nowadays, kids... I mean, back in my day, it was probably 16 when things started really happening, maybe 15. Nowadays, it's earlier. But if you don't have guidance and you don't have someone that you can talk to about it, everybody thinks their kids know it all, but they don't really. And you have to be on them about it and say, you actually almost have to put them in shock value and just say things to them that, what did my mom and dad just say to me?
Yeah.
And really talk to them about it, because it's not okay that they're sitting there at 15, you know, sitting in front of the computer watching porn. They need to get outside and meet people, have some fun, and get off the freaking technology stuff.
Okay, well, the problem is, I think that there's a danger that even if you try to police it, even if you're educational, even if you go to your uncomfortable zone as a parent and have to go through talking about it, if they do continue to use it on a regular basis, is there a danger that they'll think that some of the things they see in pornography are daily events? I mean, surely if that's your only exposure to sex, there's a danger that you think that, I don't want to be graphic here, but some of the more, you know, extreme things that you might find in pornography, perhaps they're going to think that that's normal.
Absolutely they will. And that's kind of where I had a bit of a problem with, I don't want to get in trouble here, but there's a movie coming out with about a trilogy of books, which you probably know what I'm talking about, and it is talking about how, you know, sort of bad, bratty sort of sex that's in a red room, I'll just say that much, is okay. So now a lot of young girls are confused, and young guys, because they think this is what everybody wants, is a little bit of this S&M stuff and a bit of the porn stuff that's going on you know, any channel you can find it on. And it's not a good thing, because really, sex is if you want to have just sex, that's fine. But most people are not looking for just pure sex, unless they're just out of a relationship or whatever. Young kids, teenagers, need to be set in the right direction of what real lovemaking is. Mm. I know I don't really like that word.
I quite like it.
You do?
Yeah, I like the act and the word.
Yeah, lovemaking. They need to know what that means. They don't need to just hear the word sex.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. I think nowadays, and another thing, if I can be so bold, and this might be good for your parents as well, a lot of girls are confused as to, you know, well, should, you know, it seems to be that girls are with other girls all the time, and it's just the norm. Mm. And, you know, I think they're confused, and I think this is where a parent or a guardian comes in and just says, you know, some people want to experiment with it, but there's no pressure for you to ever have to do that.
Mm.
And I think a lot of young girls feel the pressure of having to be that diverse sexual creature.
More than ever. I mean, look at in the recent years, ever since when I first saw Britney Spears' video when she was dressed as a schoolgirl, which you could even argue is marginally not offensive compared to Miley Cyrus sitting licking hammers. When I first saw that, I thought, hang on a minute, that's not all right.
Like, I don't think it's all right either.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not a prude.
That's the thing. I think that's the thing. You've nailed it right there. Neither of us are. I know I'm not.
But
and I wouldn't imagine a relationship
and
guidance counsellor could afford to be a prude. Sex is all right. I don't mind talking about it. I don't mind seeing it in the right environment. But when it's in the mainstream and it's being really pushed on children in school, and plus all the access to porn of which we've just spoken, you know, what do you think they're going to do? They need some help. Give them a hand. Put them in the right direction.
Absolutely. And never, ever think that it's wrong to talk about it, because they think, they hear it from all their friends. They see it on TV. They read a stupid book that's, oh, it's already out there as a movie that is sitting there talking about how wonderful all this stuff is. No, it's not. The old-fashioned girl meets boy, boy meets girl. Mm. Everybody appreciates each other. Should still be the way that we look at life. We should not be sitting there trying to lure somebody into our world because we're willing to do things that are out of our comfort zone.
Sue McCord, you are a fine woman, an inspiration. And to wrap up, ladies, don't put so much expectations on your men, for goodness sake. And if you're earning a wage, then offer to pay as well. Hmm? And why don't you just drop your checklists, men and women? Hmm?
Yes.
Stop being so hard on people. Have a chat with them. And don't hide behind computer screens.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's all right. I was just ranting back everything you said.
Sorry. No, that was perfect. But I'm saying everybody needs to, men need to understand women's estrogen, and women need to understand men's testosterone, and understand that we appreciate and love that about each other rather than trying to change each other.
All right. Good. Thank you, Sue.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. Wonderful banter.
It's all right, darling. Thanks for coming on. Sue McCord, you can get her book. Where can you get your book, Dear Cyber Sue?
You can get it at Smashwords as an ebook and a few other places. And as a paperback, it's on Amazon.com, Amazon.India, Amazon.England. bookshop.uk. It's available in a lot of places as paperback and ebook. So just type in Dear Cyber Sue, S-Y, not C-Y, B-E-R-S-U-E, to Google, and it's all over.
And it's an advice column that's got some of these gems that have been delivered all put into a nice, easy-to-read book. Thanks for your time, Sue McCord.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Was a pleasure, actually. I really liked her. She's very candid and open and quite clever. yeah, Sue McCord there. She's also got a TV show, Leave It to Two Beavers, and she's a relationship and lifestyle advice talk show host. We might get her back on another time. You know, because these questions, they do keep coming up. Now, though, it's time for a bit of a giggle, I reckon. Just for Laughs coming, and I'm a massive fan of Just for Laughs Festival. It's something I think to be really proud of in Canada. And as the years go by, the focus in my mind has always been on Montreal, the home of Just for Laughs. But in more recent times, it's spread its comedy tentacles out across Canada, and we're now in a situation where there's a festival right here in our own backyard in Toronto. And I'm joined now by Robbie Praw. Robbie is the VP of programming for Just for Laughs. Hi, Robbie.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, not too shabby, mate. I hope you got some advice from listening into that sex doctor.
Well, first of all, it's my pleasure to follow Sue. I think it's very appropriate. But I think if parents are having trouble talking to their kids about sex, they should bring them to a comedy show next week in Toronto. I think that is the key way to open up that conversation.
Do you know what?
We can help with that. We're a public service.
Yeah, thing. Weirdly, it's true, isn't it? Because I'll tell you what, if you think it's embarrassing having the sex chat with your kids, then what you need to do is take them to a really blue comedy act where no one knows where to look. But it will bring you closer together.
Unbelievable. Actually, no, but all kidding aside, when she was talking about, you know, young women and, you know, watching TV shows and getting an opinion on, you know, who they are and, you know, and how to experience sex and even, you know, how they're comfortable in their own bodies. It's interesting because we're actually bringing Lena Dunham in, who on Saturday night is doing a show at Sony Center. Mm. And one of the reasons we love her so much is in a day when young girls are reading magazines and being told what their body image should be, mm, you have someone like Lena Dunham going out there so comfortable with herself and really, you know, a voice of a different generation. And I think a really positive model for young women to feel comfortable about themselves. So, you know, we're going to be fooling around a lot in the next 15 days in Toronto. But, you know, when I was listening to Sue talking, I was just thinking that, you know, a lot of young women and their mothers should come and see Lena Dunham and really have her start a conversation.
Yeah. And at least it's a nice way of doing it because you can all have a bit of a chuckle in the process.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
So I'm going to ask you a bit more about the festival, who's there, what it's all about, when it runs, how to get tickets, all that shenanigans in a minute.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yeah, it is. If you've just tuned in, it's Vinnie White covering Pei Chen, and I'll be doing my normal show as well. Double the work. Hmm? Just for you, sweet cheeks. Grafting. Yeah? Skin to the bone. I'm joined by Robbie. Robbie Praw is the VP of programming at Just for Laughs. He joins us on the line from Montreal, the home of Just for Laughs, but not in a few days' time. Yeah, it's Thursday, isn't it, Robbie? It starts here in Toronto.
We start Thursday night, and we got two homes now. I mean, Montreal is the biggest comedy festival in the world. We've been in Toronto doing the JFL 42 Festival. It's going to be our third year, and already we are probably the third or fourth biggest festival, comedy festival, that is, in North America.
No way. So a really outstanding start. And the headliners this year, maybe a few names we know. Can you reel a few off?
100%. We got Seth Meyers coming. He just hosted the Emmys. And what people don't know about Seth, he's actually one of the world's best stand-up comedians, but doesn't actually go and do stand-up often because he's so busy hosting the show and obviously was on Saturday Night Live for so many years. Mm. But he's bringing his solo stand-up act on September 27th to the Sony Center. We also got Wanda Sykes coming on September 26th.
Oh, I love her. I love her. Some people give women a bit of a kick in comedy. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to see a funny woman, bang, there you go.
She's easily one of the best, no question. And you know what? We got one of my favorite acts in the world, Tim Minchin. Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with Tim.
Not only am I familiar, I played him on my show last week as a sort of warm-up to the whole thing. He's fantastic. Tim Minchin's an Australian genius. He's also he wrote a musical that's doing very well in London. But his comedy songs are nothing short of single absolute masterpieces.
He's one of the best in the world, and we start off with him on Thursday. But we're just excited to get going. I mean, this festival really has something for everybody. Very easy to figure out what you would want to see if you go on JFL42.com. We have no sex advice on that website. I'm still obsessed with your last guest. I can't even get into our segment properly. I followed a lot of things in my life before, but man.
Do you want me to give you
a
number?
Really,
you can hook up with her and you can make sweet love. Are you in Montreal?
I already wrote her on Facebook inviting her to shows. So hopefully she'll come out. But Vinny, are you going to come? I hope you come to some shows.
I want to see Tim Minchin. One of the things I wanted to ask you is how the tickets work. Because I have to be honest, maybe it's become a little backward at times. I was somewhat confused by the ticketing policy. How does it work?
So the way it works for the big headliners, for the Seth Meyers, for Wanda Sykes, for Lena Dunham, you could actually just go online and buy tickets like you would for anything else. Mm. For people like Tim Minchin, they're part of our 42. The festival's called JFL 42. And every festival in the world has a billion acts, and you never know what to see. Mm. The reason we call the JFL 42 is because these are 42 curated, really special acts that our team of scouts all around the world decided that, you know what, these are the best people to profile in Toronto. For those acts, you need to go online and you buy a pass. When you buy a pass, and it's just $49, $49 gets you two shows. Mm. And here's the cool part. So you can pick any two shows, but then when you go into one of our shows and check in on your smartphone, we actually give you another show to go see. So for just $49, you get two guaranteed shows. And then every time you get to see a show, we give you a free show to see. What we're trying to do is we feel people in Toronto are the best comedy fans in the world. I mean, London, Chicago, Toronto, those are the world's three known big comedy towns, aside from New York. And we just want people to have an experience of 10 days to see as much comedy as they possibly can stuff in their ears. I don't know if you actually stuff comedy in your ears. I don't know if that just made sense what I said.
Well, I'd rather stuff it there than any other orifice.
But Vinny, we're just chatting. We're good here. We're just getting to know each other. So what I would do in your case is you go see Tim Minchin, and at the same night in the same venue, we got Dave Attell. Dave Attell is one of the best New York comedians in the world, and just like that, for $49, you're done, and you've seen two shows, and then you'll get two shows back to go see. So next weekend you could go see something else.
Okay, it's relatively simple. So we're all the more familiar with typing in the act we want, clicking on his face, then buying the tickets to that. You buy the tickets, and then at what point, once you've got the tickets, can you then book that particular show straight afterwards on your phone?
Right immediately, you could do it on your phone. And by the way, it's not simple. It is actually complicated.
flattering, actually.
No, listen, you don't need to lie to me. Todd Barry, 2 years ago, opened up for Louis C.K. He was our first big headliner, and he said, "Welcome to the most complicated comedy festival in the world." But what it is, and what we're seeing from our audience base, is that it's actually fun to play with the festival, to see how many shows you can see, to see how many shows you can reserve to. And just to let you know, year one, 8,500 people bought passes. Year two, it was closer to 1,100. And we passed 1,100 passes 3 weeks ago already.
Is there a danger, though, that if I buy my tickets, all I want to see is Tim Minchin, it's not true because I want to see lots of acts, but if I was a bit stuffy about my comedy, and perhaps I'm an Aussie and he's the only one on the lineup, is there a danger that I book my tickets and then he's not available and then I have to go and see someone else instead? Is that possibly?
On our website, it tells you who's available before you make your purchase.
Got.
And what we do is the way it's designed is based on the people making reservations to shows. Hmm. We then grow which venue somebody's in. We'll put them in a bigger venue to make sure we have enough room. We'll add shows. What we're trying to establish in the first few years of this event is to make sure that the fan gets absolutely everything they want. So you don't need to worry about things being sold out. You just have to buy your pass, and if something is sold out, it's going to flash there right on our website that you can get it.
I see.
So we're not going to let you down. And here's the other thing. If you're really uncomfortable about the pass on the night of the show, you can show up to the venue, and if there are tickets remaining, you could walk in. But what I do suggest, like I said, we have 42 special comedians. It's going to be pretty hard for you not to find at least two that interest you. And for $49, trust us. We have scouts around the world who pick these people. Mm. They're the best in the world. And plus, our headliners, like we mentioned, Seth Meyers, Wanda Sykes, Lena Dunham, Joe Rogan, Amy Schumer, Nick Offerman, who's the guy from Parks and Rec with the mustache, that people love. So we have a lot of great acts. As you could tell by the way I'm talking, we're just excited to get going. We've been planning this since the day that last year's festival ended. We think we're bringing something very special to Toronto. And like I said, we are below it. I mean, we're going to probably be up by 50% from the amount of passes that we sold last year. Because once people get on board and buy their pass, people are seeing, some people see a couple of shows. But Vinny, people were seeing up to 25 shows with our pass last year. And so many people see me on the street and say, oh my God, I thought I was going to see one show or two. But then when I started to see these shows, and every other show became free. So they just would go out and have such a great time. And babysitters hopefully will be making a lot of money in Toronto for the next 2 weeks.
Very good. I like you. And I think that, albeit that it is somewhat complicated, now it's explained into my little brain box, I realise that at least it's malleable and can change. And that's exactly
why it's like this. Let's be honest. You're just focused still on the last interview. It's been very tough for you to transition.
I haven't heard a word you've said. Yeah, to be honest, I've been thinking about is pornography, which occupies a great deal of my time. But now I feel even more guilty about it. Now she's eradicated it from my life. We're both having those thoughts, but we're trying to pretend we're talking about comedy. That's what's happening, isn't it?
We're being professionals right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's what your listeners appreciate.
What porn are you thinking about?
I'm actually in the car with my wife right now.
Right. So even more embarrassing. Well, let me tell you, wifey, what's your wife's name?
My wife's name's Lauren. She's a beautiful dentist.
Lauren, Robbie is a pervert. He's a terrible man and you should leave him. Even if the car is currently moving, get out of that seat. Get out of that door. Do a runner. He's a wrong'un.
She's literally grabbing her head saying, I know right now. So thank you, Vinny. I hope people are out buying tickets right now because this has caused me a lot of personal grief, this entire interview. But I appreciate you having me on. And
it's
what
been
do you
a
have
pleasure.
After me? Are you done? Is there someone else coming on?
I don't know if we can top this, really. I was going to have a guy talking about travel holidays, but I'm going to have to squeeze him in now. I'm going to have to let you go for that very reason. In fact, you've just brought me back to professionalism.
Vinny, go to him. But please, everyone, go on jfl42.com. We start Thursday. Great comedy coming to Toronto. And thank you very much, Vinny.
Yeah, our pleasure. Robbie Prawl is the VP of programming at Just for Laughs. If you're interested, you can go to jfl42.com. Make sure you've got your glasses on. Maybe have a nice cold whiskey next to it just to try and get through the website, which is slightly complicated. But actually, if you get through that slightly complicated website, you will, of course, not only get the tickets you want, but very often a whole load of other tickets to other gigs throughout this comedy phenomenal event that is Just for Laughs 42 here in Toronto, September the 18th to the 27th. Right, Elliot, have we got to do a break?
We're coming to the end of this hour.
Hmm. Well, this puts us in a quandary, doesn't it? Because I was going to get Chris Robinson on to talk about travel destinations, but I feel like to plan a holiday, we've already fixed people's love life and ruined one man's love life, but, you know, you got to break a few omelettes to make an egg. But I feel like in this hour, we have now fixed people's love life, sorted out the crisis of increasing pornography, got people giggling again because we've sent them to a comedy show, right? I wanted to get them a holiday, a nice vacation somewhere, but not sure we're going to have time. Not now I've recapped everything and taken another minute doing it. So maybe we could put Chris Robinson on my show, which is coming up after this show. We'll just bump him. But I do want to talk about North Carolina as well. So much to do. It's a good job we're not wasting time talking about what we're going to do.
Maybe we could also fix the Syria situation.
What is the Syria situation? Yeah, that's all sorted. Al-Bashad, if you're listening, if you wouldn't mind sort of standing down. And ISIS, stop it. And I say that, but I really mean it. See, no one's tried that at the UN, have they? Stop it! I'll do things. Russia and Ukraine as well. Have a chat. Just have a chat, right? Over a vodka, if you like. I don't care. Whatever it takes. Anything else? Democratic Republic of Congo. Calm down. This could be quite a long list. This year's been pretty bad. Scotland. Don't go, for God's sake, don't go! We need your oil and kilts. Unless you really want to go, then go. See if we care. Everyone else has left us. Any other issues? I think that's all taken care of, isn't it? That was Vinnie White in for Pei Chen. Coming up, Vinnie White. A bizarre Vinnie White sandwich. Always a pleasure, never a chore. See you in a minute.
Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening and welcome to the Vinnie White Show. Now, I've already been here for an hour doing Pei Chen show, so it feels a bit weird saying that. But for those of you that have just wandered in late, looking unkept, not even had a shave, you layabouts, where were you? Well, I was doing quality radio, or as most people would call it, radio. Well, welcome along now. Nice to see you. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. My name's Vinny. I'm on till 10 o'clock and we'll be talking about stuff and things. If you'd like to get involved, 416 872 1010 or you can text the show on 71010. It's really clever. There's a text machine in front of me. You can also call 1877 518 5151. Particularly if you're listening in North Carolina. Because that's where I've been for the weekend. And I flew back this afternoon with Porter, and I just got to work on time. Not blaming Porter, it was always going to be cutting it fine. But I missed the ferry, the world's most pointless ferry, if ever you've had the wonder of taking a Porter flight. Porter flies from an island in Lake Ontario, which is probably about 1.5 feet from the mainland, and they've built a ferry to travel that distance. But the problem is, if you don't get that ferry, you could swim. Actually, you probably couldn't swim, legally speaking. It's going to be a lot of hard work. It's not worth it. But if you just miss the ferry, you have to wait a little while, you see, while the thing comes chugging back. However, having said all of that, this fall slash winter slash probably summer, if they're late, they're going to have a pedestrian walkway underneath. So why wait for a ferry and fly Porter if they advertise with us, which I think they do, so... they're good. And if they don't, then they're all right. Right, let's get to the... what was I doing? Where am I? What's going on? So I went to North Carolina. I went to Farm Aid this weekend. Farm Aid is a festival which has been running for 29 years. 30 next year. It'll be the big celebration if Willie Nelson is still kicking. Which, looking at him last night, I think he probably will be, although he is about 162. He and his cronies got together, and I mean that in a sort of nice way. I don't mean to put offence to them because it was a wonderful, a charitable event. Farm Aid moves around the United States, raising money and concentrating on how important farmers are. Because you know that stuff that you eat from the old supermarket? Well, you're not going to believe it. It didn't start life in the supermarket. Farms. Oof. And as you know, with the old United States of America, they love a bit of corporation, and it means that the little guys are getting squeezed. So him, Neil Young was there as well. And who else was there? Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Fogerty, who's still got all his hair. And it was all spiked up. He was there singing, well, I was born in a small town. Oh, I grew up in a small town. And I don't live in a small town, but I pretend to anyway. and stuff like that. And Mellencamp, yeah. What did I say? John Fogerty?
Yes, he's Creedence Clearwater.
Right, I might have got the wrong fella. And also the guest this year was Jack White, who did a phenomenal job. And so it's good. It's all right. But as with all the things that happened in my life, obviously it was a disaster as well. Because guess who left his wallet in a gas station on the way down? Old Muggins, hey? Old Clever McGee. Old sharp as a tack Vinny, didn't he? And guess who didn't realise till 3.5 hours later? Oh, yep. That'll be me. You know that film Groundhog Day? There's a town in it called Pugsatawny. Do you remember Pugsatawny, Phil? Well, if you're listening in that area, can you go and get my wallet? Because it's still there. There's a tiny little hamlet, we would call it in the United Kingdom. Tiny little dwelling of about 400 people in a town, if you can call it that, nearby. And my wallet's in that gas station. You know what annoys me, though? By the way, it's completely my fault. Let's make absolutely no bones about that. But I left it in the gas station, drove off, and then apparently the guy realised and came out and saw the taillights of our car and thought, oh, oh well. Look in the wallet! Get one of my business cards out and give me a phone! Do us a favour! So I phoned him. The gas station had closed, so I had to phone him the next day. He's like, oh yeah, Vinny, awesome. Your wallet's here. It's awesome. He said awesome a lot. Don't know why he was so... Don't know if he'd lived in California all his life. Also, he had a surfboard under his arm and enormous blonde hair. No, he was a nice guy and he said, come back and get it. But the problem is, I couldn't because I had to come and do this radio show and I flew back and left my friends in the States. And they're not going back that way. So now I'm going to try and get him to FedEx it here. You don't really need to worry about all this. But let it just be known that I don't have any money. So if anyone would like to buy me a beer, that'd be nice. Because all my credit cards and everything are in there. Luckily, my passport wasn't, or otherwise I'd be stuck in the States. Which in many ways is a nice place, but can I be brutally honest? North Carolina. Not a fan of a salad. Hmm? You know what I'm saying? There is a salad in a restaurant in North Carolina, and it said salad options. There's only one. Thought, it's not really options, is it? If there's only one salad underneath the salad options. But they had salad options. It said chicken Caesar with bacon and croutons and hamburger meat. At what point? Surely that's moving away from a salad and turning more into a barbecue amongst lettuce. It's really weird. What else did it have? Oh, and cheese, of course. Everything's got cheese. I had a piece of salmon. Bit of cheese on it. No! Cheese. Even the drinks have got cheese in them, I think. You can squirt it from bottles. It's bright yellow. And the sodas. That's not a soda. That's a paddling pool. There's people walking out of there with drinks the size of dustbins. Kids. Is that child abuse? I think it might be. You can't let your kid drink a dustbin of Coke or a soda. You want, and I asked for a soda. I said, can I have a small one? I don't usually drink it because the old beer belly is already bad enough. I want to keep that under wraps. And I was going to a festival, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to go crazy. I'll have a small soda in a fast food restaurant in North Carolina. And the first thing I said was, why not go for a big one? It's the same price. And I nearly said, because I don't want to be fat, and then realised my audience might be offended. Not saying I'm Brad Pitt, by the way. Let's make that very clear. But this particular person was, well, it was two people stuck together. And, yeah. Yeah, I'm not one to judge, he says, having just done some really judgmental and wildly massive accusational judgmental things. But I have to say that it's become culturally acceptable in North Carolina to be enormous. And I mean enormous. I went to a Waffle House last night. I've never seen anything like it. I asked for a waffle. She goes, well, they're unlimited. I don't want unlimited. And she goes, well, have as many as you want. I'll get you started with a... I'll get you started with... You have to forgive me while I warm the accent up. It's always terrible at the best of times. Haven't mastered Canadian after 7 years. What do you expect I'm going to do in North Carolina? Y'all going to get some waffles right here, honey bunch? And right on. There you go. I can do it. I knew I could. Yeah, she says, well, if you're going to have one waffle, you can have as many as you like. I said, I don't really want that many. Just want one or two. I'm already drunk. That's not good, is it, really? Going for food at 2 a.m. We all do it. I've spent the whole day at a festival. And she said, well, the waffles are unlimited. I'll get you started with five. I thought, that's quite excessive. They're the size of a house. If you went to Belgium, they'd give you one. And they'd say, you want another one? What are you, crazy? It was a mountain of food. And then she put maple syrup on it, which has never seen a maple tree. And some other stuff. I said, have you got any fruit? And she just looked at me as if to say, what's that? Fruit? We ain't got that. So no fruit. Waffle, just gel on it, just like corn syrup. It's mental. Having said all of that and being borderline offensive to our American brothers, let me say I had a fantastic time, and Farm Aid, of all things, ironically, is a fantastic organisation that encourages economical and sustainable development in our environment and actually a fair wage for farmers, and tries to kill massive corporations from doing outlandish and unreasonable things when it comes to GMO products, and everything down to beekeeping is encouraged within the walls of Farm Aid. It's all organic and it's all groovy. I had shrimp and grits. What the hell's a grit? I didn't know what that was, but it turns out they're nice and they're not fattening. Well, they are because they're in North Carolina, but compared to everything else, it's like eating an iceberg lettuce. So I had that. That was amazing. The music was beautiful, and I met some lovely people. And ever the journalist, I decided to record some of my shenanigans so you can hear it. And I thought it would be a bit of a laugh to play it today. I have to say, the people are unbelievably friendly, like stupendously friendly. Now, a Brit living in Canada, I've just spent the last 7 years thinking that Canada's friendly. And by the way, it is compared to Britain. However, you go there, I got a hug from someone in front of me for no reason whatsoever. And she was lovely. And then the guy next, I said, oh, that was nice. And some guy's, where are you all from? My friend said, Canada. Eh? And I said, England. He goes, well, then it looks like the beer's on me, goddammit. If you're going to come down here, then I'm going to look after you. And then he bought us all a beer, which I thought was nice. And then I realised it was really nice because it's $15 a beer. All right, it's organic, but $15 cheaper than the Air Canada Centre. And that is daylight robbery. But I got talking to people. They were nice. People like this. So I'm here at Farm Aid in... Where am I?
You're in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh, North Carolina. Or as I've been calling it, Raleigh.
Raleigh.
And it's good. And I'm with...
Melanie.
And...
Marianne.
And they're both localish chicks, if I may be so bold. 2.5 hours. Very attractive young things they are too. And I've just got here. What's Farm Aid all about, and what do you think of it so far?
So far, I've only made it to the porta potty, and it is stinky and musty, and I wish I'd gone in the woods. Yes. So yes. Actually, my dad had supported Farm Aid for years and years and years. My grandparents farmed, and so Willie Nelson rocks, and so I just could not resist.
As we speak, Jack White is on, a man of my own name. I'm Mr. White myself. He's rocking it. Who else have we got later on?
Neil Young.
Now we've got the good stuff.
Neil Young.
We've got Neil Young coming up. Yep.
Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds. Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds.
Brilliant.
And Willie Nelson.
You were telling me earlier.
Boxcar Willie. I mean, nothing else needs to be said.
Yeah. Willie coming up. Right, girls, are you going to have a drink?
Yes, actually, I think I'm going to drink exactly what you're drinking, sir.
No, I think I'm going to have three.
That's my girl. Thanks for talking to me. There we go, it's a little interview. Now right. I can get drunk.
No, don't say that, Elliot.
Elliot, turn it off. When I said edit these clips, you're supposed to edit out the bit that says, there was an interview, now I can get drunk. This show's already unprofessional enough without me confessing that was a chore.
It's honesty, Vinny.
Sincerity, here on News Talk 1010. There is that. That's all true, isn't it? They hugged me. They were lovely. Like, they're really deep, beautiful, nice people. I haven't been to the south of the United States since I was about 20. And even then, I only touched on Arizona and stuff. So I've never been down that way. And it was phenomenally friendly. But, you know, it's interesting because time and time again, without me prompting them, the healthcare debate kept coming up. So I've talked to a girl and I thought it was really interesting. And I genuinely believe as a country that I come from a country that has healthcare, much the same system as this. And I've used the Canadian healthcare system plenty of times. Unfortunately, I'm not a very good snowboarder. And so I am, for all my life, used to having free healthcare. And I personally believe that it's a fantastic thing, and I think it's a human right. However, as we know, our brothers to the south are somewhat more capitalist, and perhaps we could even argue selfish at times. But not everyone feels that way. And so many times people said, I love Canada. I really love you having that healthcare thing. People like this. Tell me a little bit about you and then what you know of Canada. First of all, how old are you? What do you do? Have you got kids? All that stuff.
I'm 39 years old. I'm still a stay-at-home mom. I have one child in college and one child who is a senior in high school.
And here you are at Farm Aid, the festival, dancing your socks off, wearing a cowboy hat, looking pretty cool. I'd like to ask you what you think of Canada, if you know anything about it.
I know you get milk in bags. The last time I was in Canada, I think I was about 12 years old, and it is cold, but it is beautiful, and I know you have far better health care than I do.
Would you like that?
I would like to have affordable health care. I'm tired of subsidizing everybody else's health care and knowing that I get stuck with an $1,100 a month health care bill.
Is that for you and your kids?
No, that is for my children, not for me. I've not had health care in 12 years.
Does that mean you haven't seen a doctor in 12 years?
Actually, I haven't seen a doctor in probably longer than 12 years.
Is that because you can't afford it and I suppose loyally you put your, and nobly you put your children first?
Yeah. Actually, it's gotten to the point where my husband and I have considered actually getting a divorce so that way I could collect and go ahead and see. I mean, a divorce on paper.
Yeah.
But go ahead so that way I can actually see a doctor.
If you were to get a divorce, that would make you with a very small income, which would mean that you would be able to get that doctor for free. Is that what you mean?
Yep.
Well, yeah, I was seeing mom.
But at the moment, if you want to see a doctor, you can't do anything about it.
Nope, there's nothing. The closest thing I have found is the county healthcare clinics, which work on sliding scale fees. And they want for me to have the proper blood test for my thyroid. And one visit with a nurse practitioner, not even a doctor, a nurse practitioner, is $1,100.
And this is why Canada's good, yeah. Thank you, and thank you for being very level-headed and groovy and sexy.
And...
I don't know if they're the right words, being that you just told...
I came that way. So.
I can't take that away from you. Thanks very much. Yeah, I realised at that point I was mildly drunk because I said all that rather complimentary and flattering stuff and she was next to a really big man and she'd already told me it was a husband. But I think as long as you're a little bit cheeky, you can get away with it. And she was really lovely. But yeah, on a serious note, be proud, Canada, because healthcare... is a wonderful thing about this country, and I know that it's sometimes broken. And believe me, I spent 9 hours in a waiting room in Quebec once for the most painful collarbone break I could possibly describe. But it's a slippery slope if you look at the States model and the absolute sham of a disaster that it has become. So that's that. Any thoughts? 416-872-1010. Are you from North Carolina? Do you like North Carolina? Any comments on the healthcare thing? Anything really. It's a pretty relaxed, informal type show. Get involved on 416-872-1010 or you can text the show on 71010. You're listening to News Talk 1010 and I went to North Carolina. Let's hear some more Americans.
What's going on?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Where are we?
We are in Raleigh, North Carolina, Walnut Creek Amphitheater, seeing Farm Aid.
Now, I've just seen John Mellencamp, which was a little bit... perhaps just a little bit religious-esque?
It was awesome still, man.
He still said at one point, the Bible Belt rules.
He does say that.
He does say that?
He does indeed say that. You are correct. You are correct. But for the first time seeing him ever in my life, awesome, man. He did an awesome job.
He did.
Put on a good show.
He did two new ones at the beginning, then he did a whole bunch of classics.
Right. Let us have some fun with the classics.
Are you a local man?
I live in Greenville, North Carolina, about an hour and a half from here.
You, if I may say so, and I hope this is a compliment as opposed to something offensive, seem quite a well-rounded and travelled gentleman, a worldly man, if I may.
Oh, well, thank you. I did grow up in Southern California, lived in Arizona for a while, and then made it out this way. to North Carolina.
And so now you're here. Do you? I'm going to level with you. As a Brit living on this continent, I sometimes, not tonight, sometimes find that people can be a little narrow-minded. I find this a festival of actual happiness and good, a genuine sense of wonder. But you live in a state that's sometimes been criticised for being narrow-minded. Do you understand these criticisms?
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's trying to get the whole nation to change with us, man. Honestly, right? It's trying to get everybody to think on the same page, start growing their minds a little bit, and start branching out to new things and new ideas, man. It's time to change it a little bit, you know what I mean? Do some different stuff than we've done in the past, and accept everybody for what they are, who they are, religion, whatever. You know what I mean? Get everybody in there. Let's have a good life together.
Thanks a lot.
We should have put him on stage. Such a brilliant speech. I really like it. And you could even argue there's a small amount of Canadianisation, if that is such a thing, in North Carolina. So often slated for being somewhat bigoted. Actually, the people there yesterday were just joyous and wondrous and really nice and warming. So thanks to everyone that went to Farm Aid and the great message that it spread. When we come back, I'm going to do one interview with a man that was a bit bonkers, wasn't he? Really? There was one nutter. But, you know, light and dark. We'll have that, and we'll take some calls from you as well if you want. 416-872-1010. Shall I take that one? There's a lot of people phoning, but okay, let's give it a go. Hello, who's this?
Richard from Brampton.
Hello, mate. What's your thoughts?
Did you guys actually read the copyright agreement that Harper just signed 8 months ago with France? Because that's going to end up increasing the cost of healthcare because... of the longer copyright agreements that they have in Europe.
I have to confess, I don't know about that, but I should...
Yeah, it's about 8 months ago. You guys should really read up on it, because what they should be doing is cutting it back to, like, what we had about 8 years ago with Cretier, you know? But now, the longer the agreement, that means, like, even if I wanted to make the same drug, right... I have to wait for the copyright thing, and the most expensive part of our healthcare right now is the cost of what? Drugs.
Right, I see. Yeah.
That's the most increasing one, and instead of like lowering it, he's increased it.
By tying it up in paperwork, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, it just means that generic version of the drug, so that there's real competition, right, is eliminated. And what they should be doing, if they want to reduce healthcare, is just, like, look at the copyright.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right, bye.
Cheers. When we come back, I am going to play another couple of interviews. I think we're going to talk to Chris Robinson, who does a travel show, and I want to just get a quick update on... Now, it might be getting a little bit chilly on the willy soon. How can we get out of here for cheap? That's what happens to me when the fall comes. Right, where's the airport? I just need to know it's there. I need to know my passport's ready. And I need to not go via the States because they always fingerprint me. True. Weird, but true. So we're going to ask him about all those issues a little bit later. And we'll hear more. Just one more interview from Farm Aid as well. All that coming up. You're listening to The Vinnie White Show. This is News Talk 1010.
This is The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
All right, and we're through till 10 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk a tiny bit more about Farm Aid and some of the characters there. I was in North Carolina yesterday and woke up there this morning, and it's all right. You know what? Smells of freedom. You can smell them in the streets. Oh, the smell of freedom. Also smells a little bit of fried food in North Carolina. When I say a little bit, I mean, you know, if you're in a fryer, some of it smells like that. But the nicest people, and a great time was had from Farm Aid in Raleigh, or whatever it's called, in North Carolina. And it was all right. I went through Niagara to get there. I've never been to Niagara Falls before. It was nice. I stopped along the way. Gets quite a lot of flack, Niagara Falls. Someone said it's tacky. Tacky? tackier than a set of tacks covered in glue having been tacked to the world's largest tack. No, it's not tacky, unless you think a 20-foot-high plastic Frankenstein eating a burger is tacky. How could that be tacky? It's unapologetic, though, isn't it? It's, you know, it says, I am tacky. It should say, that should be the slogan. Niagara Falls, tacky. Perfect. But the falls were very beautiful, and it's quite interesting, I suppose. But I got to Farm Aid, got talking to lots of people, and there was lots of characters, and here's one of them.
Yeah, I think Margaret Thatcher is a great politician. She would be great to be back on the throne to be...
Right, so this is how... It's weird how I invite these conversations. Because of my accent, a lot of people gravitate to English history. And a lot of... It turns out quite a lot of people in the Deep South really like Thatcher because she was pretty hardcore conservative. So a lot of people just just came up to me and said, what are you drinking there? I'm having a beer. Right on, that's awesome. I like Margaret Thatcher. Okay. But I don't know, this guy speaks as if he didn't know she was dead, so I thought I'd remind him.
The next Prime Minister?
She is, unfortunately, 6 foot under.
I know she is, but we need somebody else like Margaret Thatcher. She is tough, she understands politics, and she will get the job done, unlike David Cameron.
I should mention this. This interview, even though it's a bit confusing because I'm English,
yes,
but I live in Canada.
Oh!
Is there any chance you know anything about Canadian politics?
No, I don't pay attention to them.
Do you feel flattered? Oh, I love that. Do that bit again. Don't worry, I think you're special.
Is there any chance you know anything about Canadian politics?
No, I don't pay attention to them. I just hope they're on the United States' side. I just hope they're on our side and we can take out Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all those bad guys who are taking over the country.
Do you say that with irony or is that actual fact?
Is actual facts, yeah. Because ISIS are bad guys and, you know, they are out to dominate and take over the world.
Yeah.
I'm not out to kill people, but, you know, I'm out, I'm here to defend my country.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Canada? Doesn't matter if you don't, but do you know anything?
No.
I didn't know anything about it when I moved there.
I know their currency has Queen Elizabeth II on it.
That's good enough, isn't it?
That's a start. You know, that's the only thing they're good for, is having Elizabeth II is their currency.
Do you ever worry, because I'd like to push on this for a moment, okay. Although that's got a little political... Hang on, mate.
Okay.
We have a drunk man that's here.
No, I'm perfectly making sense.
No, you're great, but there is a drunk man that has come between us. Like a sexual disease, does.
Right. Yeah. You are good. You are great. You could be journalist.
So, if I may ask, hang on, drunk man's still here.
You could be a journalist.
I'm having a go. Give me 20 years,
see,
I might
I like
make
Fox
it.
News. They're my favorite.
Oh, and that's where I'd like to go. So,
I don't like MSNBC or PMSNBC.
But you're a peculiar character because you're quite...
PMS,
you're wise.
They PMS all the time. No. Not Rachel Maddow, Rachel Mad Cow Disease. Thank you. Anyway, what do you got for me?
You're quite wise and you're quite, one would assume, well-travelled. I'm not sure if that's the case, but are you well-travelled?
Yes.
Have you ever left the United States?
Yes, I have.
Where did you go? Are you in the Army?
I've been to Guatemala for a mission trip.
A mission trip. Oh, so you're a hard Christian. All right. So let's get this squared away.
And I think the immigration thing that's going on is terrible because he's doing a terrible job. He waits to the last minute to do things because...
Hang on, how have we got into that? All
because
I
asked the president
you was...
spends all his time going on vacation. He waits to the last minute to solve his problems. You know,
First of all, it's weird that we got onto that. But secondly, this president has had less holidays than George Bush, which I think you might quite
he's
like him.
He's had just as many holidays as George Bush.
He's had less days off.
No, he's had just as many days off as George Bush.
Even fact doesn't get in the way. Right, so...
is the fact. He's had more days just as George Bush has.
Well, no.
He's played golf with John Boehner, the Speaker of the House.
But it's not facts. It's actually not facts.
It is facts.
Well, no, it isn't, though.
Barack Obama has had more days off than George Bush on vacation.
Let's interject here. I should have looked it up in front of him, but as we can tell, he does like a chat. So I've gone to the trouble of looking it up now, and I have gone to factcheck.org and various other websites to get this information. I don't know how I find... I'm in a festival. Why am I not listening to Jack White having a beer? I end up in a political rant there. But nonetheless, I checked it out. And before his two-week trip to Martha's Vineyard in August, Obama's count was 125 full or partial days off, right? And Bush's total at the same point in his presidency was 407. So it's not only is it true what I'm suggesting, that no one's had more holiday than George Bush and certainly not Barack Obama. Not only is it true, it's true threefold. So let's make this categorically clear. This man is wrong. There is no doubt about it. No matter what you look at, he is factually incorrect. But, oh, he ain't going down.
He's been to Martha's Vineyard for at least three or four times.
It doesn't matter where he's been. He hasn't had more days off.
He has had more vacations. Yes, he has.
Well, how do you know that? Because I know that because I looked it up last week. How do you know that?
I've looked at the facts. I've looked at the internet. I read, you know, and I've seen where he's had many more vacations than George Bush.
Yes. Do you want me to... I don't want to embarrass you, but I can look this up now if you want, and I'll win.
Look it up. Well, if you look it up, you're only looking it up on the liberal news media. MSNBC, CBS, ABC are the liberal media. They are the liberal media because they lie to the American public. If George Bush were to give the same speech as Obama did on ISIS the other night, the American media would trash him. But if it's Obama giving the speech, nobody trashes him because he's the first African-American president. It's because he's African-American. Nobody's going to trash him because he's the first African-American president. If it was Bush giving that same speech, people would trash him. They would say, oh, my God, Bush, you are wrong. Why are you waiting to the last minute to give this speech? You are stupid. But if it's Obama giving the speech, no. Oh, you're doing a great job, Obama. You're doing wonderful. Why?
I appreciate your rant, and I understand it, but...
I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd.
Can I talk for a second?
It's very absurd. Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't days off finite and discoverable? Isn't it binary? Isn't it either he had a day off or he didn't? It's very difficult to lie about that, isn't it?
No, I'm not lying about anything.
No, you're not. No, that's...
Okay, go
what
ahead.
I'm saying is that you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, the media is subjective and... The left-wing news will say that he hasn't had any days off.
Charlie Rose.
Doesn't matter what I say.
You know,
not listening.
Charlie Rose.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the normal news media.
You don't listen, do you?
What are you saying? The liberal news media?
Well, I was going to ask you a question, but you interrupted me.
Oh, I'm sorry. go on with your question.
All right, I like you. You're a really nice bloke, but I really would like you to listen.
Go with your question, and I'll listen. Okay,
all right.
I'm sorry.
Because that's... I wonder if that's perhaps Fox News all together, is it? Just shouting at people.
No, they're just... I will be honest, Fox News has their opinions, just like MSNBC has their opinions.
Yeah.
But at least Fox News, they go after both sides. I've seen them attack conservatives, and I've seen them attack liberals. They've attacked Dick Cheney. They've attacked Joe Biden.
Yeah.
They attack both sides. But when I look at MSNBC and CNN, they attack only the conservatives.
All right. Let's just interrupt here and say you're listening to News Talk 1010. It's the Vinnie White Show. And you're listening to an interview with a guy who's fairly representative of some, but not all, people in North Carolina that I interviewed last night at Farm Aid. And we continue. So let's go back to the original point.
Hang on,
because I've got to stop you before you go on a massive political rant.
I'll give you a good example.
No, I don't need one.
Candy,
so the original point, you're going to keep shouting, and I'm not going to get my point over, am I?
Okay.
So, is it not finite, the days off of a president? Is it not clear? Do you understand this question?
Yes, I do.
All right, is it not definite, the amount of days off a man has? It's not subjective, it's a fact.
Yeah.
So, if we discover the facts and... George Bush had more days off than Obama.
He did not, yeah.
Yeah, but if we did discover that, would you think? If we did, which we won't, because you're definitely right. But if we did, would you think about that?
No, I would not, because Obama's had more days off in office than George Bush has in office.
So, but if we discovered that was incorrect, which it probably isn't, you're definitely right, and that's great. Would you then consider that?
Well, no, because Obama, you know. Even when he's in office, he takes days off.
Yeah.
Because even when he's in... He
So he literally can't win, can he?
No, he can't. Because Joe Biden is his puppet. You know, he always goes to Joe Biden as his puppet. You know, You remember the speech Joe Biden gave. He told his wife about the gun thing. Joe Biden said, he was like, buy a shotgun, buy a shotgun. If anybody comes up to your door, buy a shotgun, buy a shotgun. And I thought it was the whole liberal thing, as they were opposed to shotguns, you know, and Joe Biden's up here sounding like a lunatic, as crazy as the rednecks are. You know, if I told Jill, if a man came up to the door, I would tell her to get a shotgun and fire rounds off the balcony. And I'm thinking, okay, first off, an assault rifle is more accurate than a shotgun, so you're already wrong right there from making...
It's amazing. I don't know why I didn't just walk off. It's like, you know those toys you had when you were a kid and you pull the cord on the back and it just goes... Rant. Some would argue very much similar to this show. But it goes on and on.
And that mistake. Secondly, you don't want to shoot a shotgun off a balcony. You're an idiot. Thirdly, you're the Vice President of the United States. Don't you think you have Secret Service men who could kill bad guys instead of you off the balcony? Come on, Mr. Joe Biden.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. You're an idiot. Okay. He's a puppet to Barack Obama. That's why Barack chose Joe Biden to be his Vice President, because Joe Biden is an idiot and he does...
Are you in politics? This is about that time I thought, there's a beer truck over there and it's $15 and I was only going to have one, but weirdly, I feel like I need to get out of it. But stupidly, because I'm stubborn and a bit weird, I decided to carry on just a little more.
Anything Barack Obama tells him to do.
Are you in politics?
No, but I just know common sense.
What do you do for a living? Not that it makes any weight on it.
I'm a wholesale flower salesman.
Oh, yeah.
I grow my own flowers. There they are right there. That's my delphinium in my greenhouse.
Absolutely gorgeous delphinium. It's the nicest delphinium I've ever seen from a North Carolinian. And I tell you what, I've seen a few delphiniums in my time.
In Norlina, North Carolina, near the Virginia line. I run a small business. I know how hard it is to earn a dollar and how easy it is for the government to take it away.
Yeah.
So, there it is for
Republican, aren't you?
I'm a conservative. I'm a Reagan conservative.
Hang on. Stop that. It sounded like I swore at him. What did you bleep out there?
No, actually, he said the S word.
Oh, did he? What, he said I'm a...
It was like an adjective. It was like some stuff.
Ah, okay. All right, crack on. I just want everyone to know that I wouldn't be rude, and swear at an innocent man, despite his beliefs and opinions, Professional. I'd wait until the microphone was off.
I believe in conservative politics. I believe the conservative party now is what the Democratic Party used to be. Joe Biden, conservatives, John Boehner, conservatives, the conservative party now is like what the Reagan party used to be, because at least Ronald Reagan, he believed in cutting taxes. He believed in cutting taxes for the American people, you know, but the Democratic Party now has just gone too far to the left. They're like almost like socialists.
Yeah.
Progressives, you know, that's too far, you know.
Are you finding yourself taxed more than you used to be then?
Yeah. Really. I mean, our business is being taxed more. I mean, the American people are suffering. And even Obama...
But you personally, are you suffering?
We're suffering, definitely.
No, what about you personally?
I am suffering personally.
How are you suffering?
Well, I cannot make it through the day-to-day, you know, through...
But you've got a business. It's going quite well.
Also, you are at a festival where it's $90 to get in and you're drinking a $15 beer. So when you say, I can't make it through the day, pushing the truth.
Well, you're at a concert. You seem to be earning enough money to be here.
Yeah, I mean, out of anything, you know. And I mean, I love Dave Matthews and I love Neil Young. They're awesome musicians, but I disagree 100% with their political agreement.
Yeah.
Political.
I just want to understand how you're...
awesome musicians.
Can you explain to me how you're suffering?
How you doing?
It's Karen. How are you suffering as an individual? Because I really want to know. Are the taxes squeezing your business? Is that what it is?
Well, it's just hard to get through. I'm trying to go to college and get a degree and something. Yeah. But the problem is, it's just hard to get a degree in college, you know. I mean, only people who are on welfare and who are, you know, on food stamps are the only ones getting a degree. And I'm out here busting my ass working, and I can't even get financial aid. And the people who don't get financial aid, they are capable of going out and working, but they're too lazy to get out and work. Just like Margaret Thatcher said, some people must get out and do and get out and work. They are capable of working, but they don't want to. They're too lazy to work. Yeah. They got to get out there and do it. They got to get out there and work.
Let me just go.
And they are able to, but the president, just like he's doing with the immigrants who are coming across Mexico, he's trying to brainwash them and say, okay, look, you guys don't need to get out there and work. You can sit on your butt. We'll give you food stamps. We'll let you sit on your butt. But that's not right.
And that was that. And it was about that point, I think I just went, I just remembered I'm at a concert. And off I wandered and saw Neil Young perform. And he was exceptional. But I thought it was interesting. And don't think that he is representative of everyone in North Carolina. There is that view. But what was interesting about him is so angry and just so many tangents. Do you know what I did afterwards? I gave him a hug. That's what I did. And I think he enjoyed it. And now we're getting married. No, that's about as far as it ever got. But it was interesting. And thank you to him. Unfortunately, I didn't get his name, but it was a fantastic interview nonetheless. If a little bizarre, to say the least. When we come back, we talk how to get out of here when it gets cold with Chris Robinson and his travel show. We're going to get a little snippets from him and some advice on when it does get cold. Where can we go?
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Vinnie White here. Got a few texts in from the Niagara region. Someone who didn't leave their name says, Vinnie, I live in Niagara Falls. It's not taggy here. Not in the least. No, really. No, it's not, though. No. They say that text has no tone, but I can hear just a little sarcasm. It's very beautiful. It is. The falls are gorgeous. But what they've done around them is somewhat questionable. I'm sure it's good for a giggle, though. Weekend away and a little bit of sauciness with the lady. Happy times. Now, if you're looking for getaway ideas, there's one man that knows more than possibly anyone ever in the history of time. Or possibly not. But either way, he's very clever and jolly nice. And he's English, so he must be all right. Hello, Chris Robinson.
Hello, Billy. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, have you been listening to this cataclysmically untogether show so far?
Well, I've been most impressed. I mean, it's going to be difficult to follow Sue, of course, and her sex stories. But I'm not so difficult, I think, to probably be, you know, a little bit more intellectual, maybe, than the guy from North Carolina.
I mean, you said it. We were all thinking it. Let's say that. Oh, I'm glad you said that. Oh, I was already giving him enough of a hammering. I thought I should be light on him, but there you go.
You gave him a pretty big noose.
Well, the thing is, what annoys me more than anything else, because I'm in talk radio, is people that just won't accept facts. Yeah. You can have your views, that's fine, and I don't really care what they are. But when there's a fact, and the fact is that Bush has had more holiday than Obama by almost threefold, or had, should I say, that's a fact, just sort of accept it. That's all. But there you go. Right, now, Chris Robinson is a travel guru. He has a website and a radio show. You can find out more about him at chrisrobinsontravelshow.ca. Or you're probably familiar with his beautiful tones here on News Talk 1010. And one of the reasons I wanted to get you on, particularly this week, is, let's be honest, it's at that point now where we're just starting to feel the chill of fall. Yep. The fingers of winter are somewhat around our neck. And a lot of people at this time of year think, right, I want to get away. But money's tight. Christmas is around the corner. Oh, I've spent more at the X than I was supposed to. What am I going to do? Can you give us a hand on some nice, cheap, cheerful getaways, Chris?
For sure. Because now is exactly the right time to be making those plans and booking your trip. For two reasons, really, Vinny. One is because you've got longer to look forward to it, which is great. Mm. And two is the early booking deals are the best I've ever seen them out there.
Really? Oh, that's encouraging. Okay. So where do we start? Where do we go for those puppies?
Well, you go to your local travel agent, of course. They're your local expert, and you want to choose a local travel agent who will actually listen to you, actually sit down, stop talking, and listen to what you're looking for in your perfect vacation. And then when you've found a travel agent who will do that, and there are plenty out there that will, then plan your trip with them. And you've got a choice of five or six big tour operators. So get their brochures, have a look at their websites, and see what kind of destination is going to suit you. And the big three, of course, are Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Mexico.
OK, a lot of people have become their own little pocket travel agents now, and they think, well, I'm not going to get ripped off at a travel agent. Well, I can go online. What would you say to those people?
I would say think twice, really. Yes, you can do that, and a lot of people want to be independent, and that's fine. And there are also holiday companies out there, by the way, that will let you do that. It's called FIT, and you can put together the different components of just your air, and then your hotels, and car rental, perhaps. And
what does FIT stand for?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It just means you're putting together your own trip, basically.
Good enough.
As opposed to the package bit, which is where it's all done for you. But the thing that the package trip does, and does really, really well, is it takes any anxiety away from you. It's kind of worry-free vacations. Mm. Anything happens, you've got someone to fall back on.
So Cuba always comes up as quite a cheap prospect. Mexico, you said. What was the other one you said? Dominican?
Dominican Republic, yeah.
Some people that haven't gone outside Canada in some time might be looking at news and thinking, oh, I'm going to get stabbed. It's so dangerous, particularly with regard to Mexico. I don't think there's ever that much crime in Cuba. But, well, not incredibly violent crime at any rate. But could sort of pacify some of the fears that people might have about a destination like Mexico.
Easy to do because we're talking about letting the numbers tell the story, and the numbers do tell the story. By far the greatest number, something like, I don't know, probably about 80% or so of Canadians who are taking all-inclusive package vacations to Mexico go to the Cancun, Riviera Maya area. Mm. That region actually has a lower incidence of violent crime than Canada.
Right.
So, you know...
You're probably going to be all right then, aren't you, really?
Yeah, you're likely to be all right. And if you're really unlucky and aren't all right, well, then you could equally have been unlucky here in Canada.
And the cultural differences are quite fun, I find. I was down, I think I went to, what's it called, Playa del Carmen? Is that south of?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went down there.
Riviera Maya, yeah.
I was down there with my girlfriend, and I was flattered when a policeman rode up on a motorbike and said in Spanish, your girlfriend is sexy. Wouldn't happen here. I say go with it.
Well, that's a compliment, absolutely.
It's all right, isn't it? If she said she was ugly, I might be a bit offended.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you wouldn't like the reverse.
Yeah, he was right, by the way. That's probably why I didn't manage to hang on to her. So there's a couple of good destinations, and you're a big fan of travel agents. What about a little further afield? Anything good going on in Europe and any cheap ways of getting there?
Yeah, I mean, France is the number one most visited destination country anywhere in the world. Mm. Spain is number three, so you know, you've got two of the big three European countries.
Mm.
There's always some last-minute deals, transatlantic deals. The thing to do, really, with if you're going to Europe, is either book really early or book really, really late. Mm. In between is where you're going to pay your highest price.
And, of course, at Christmas, there's nothing you can do anyway about it anyway. It's just going to be
expensive. Want something specific, if you want a specific hotel or a specific date, then really book in advance, because otherwise you could be unlucky.
Spain, by the way, if you haven't been, is, I would say, probably my favourite country in the world, if only for the food. Oh,
isn't it fabulous? And the wine.
The wine, and it's cheap. I was in Portugal earlier this year, and it was paying €7 a bottle in a restaurant, which is, what's €7, Chris?
Oh, it is, what, about $10?
$10. A bottle in a restaurant. You'd be lucky to get a glass in some parts.
And Portuguese wine is fabulous too.
It's really underrated, yeah. And if you can find yourself in Spain, similar prices. Rioja wine's gorgeous. And if you get yourself down to Granada, you're steeped in history. And you can get free food with every drink.
Called tapas.
Oh, it's not too shabby, is it? Right, I'm going to get you back on another time, Chris, because I'd like to discover a bit more of the world with you. Would that be all right?
It would be great. I look forward to it, Vinny.
Thanks for popping in today, pal.
Okay, take care.
All the best. Cheers. If you want more information on Chris or how to get hold of his bargains, then go to the chrisrobinsontravelshow.ca, chrisrobinsontravelshow.ca, and you can hear old podcasts of his shows, and you can listen to him live, of course, find out all about the times and stuff on the website, and you can listen to him live here on News Talk 1010. My name's Vinny. It's been all right, hasn't it? Think I got away with it. 2 hours. I'd say it's probably the best radio anyone's ever done in the history of radio, but quite a heavy emphasis on the probably. See you next week at 9 till 10 for the usual shenanigans, and you can download the podcast at vinnywhite.co.uk. Always a pleasure, never a chore.